So we did it. We got through this two-day Halloween ordeal. We got through this storm. The power hopefully is back on for you. But and now we're on to the next great thing, Black Friday sales. I saw my first ad, like when the power came back on in my place Friday evening, I turned on the TV and I saw my first Black Friday ad. And I was like, whoa, like Halloween, what? Come on, it's just, already on to the next thing. There's actually a science behind all of this, these ads that we have, that we see on TV. And a big part of that is trying to create a sense of urgency. You know, there are words, there are phrases that are designed to get you, in this case, to click on the buy now button. That's the whole point, is just get you to click on that right away. And in this ad that you see on the internet, you can see all these words and phrases that are designed to create urgency. Countdown, hurry, online only, stock is limited, 4 days only. Advertising like this is intended to get us to feel like we're going to miss out unless we act now. It wants us to make it a priority. And here's the thing. It works. If it didn't, advertising agencies would find some other tactic. And it's not just in advertising either. Our whole culture seems to be driven by this thing. There's a new word. It's called FOMO, fear of missing out. So we jump on board, you know, the latest trends, whatever it is, just without really reflecting on whether is it really worthwhile. We get caught up in the notion that's what's in front of us has to be our priority. That, you know, that we're Halloween ends, boom, we're on to, well, we don't have Thanksgiving here, so we're on to Black Friday sales, because the sales, we still get those, even though we don't have the Thanksgiving. So there's Black Friday sales, and then there's Christmas, and then there's Boxing Day, and then there's New Year's, and then it never ends. You go into the dollar store the day after Halloween, and they're putting up the Christmas stuff. It's always on to the next thing, and the idea is to try and get that next thing to be the best, the biggest ever. Whether it's, you know, Halloween, our next major purchase, the Christmas, it has to be the biggest and best ever. And we never really focus on what's truly important, only on what's urgent, what's right in front of us. And those two things aren't necessarily the same. What's urgent isn't necessarily what's important. This week, we're beginning a preaching series. And over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about something big. In fact, there's nothing bigger. The series is entitled Living for Eternity. And in these 3 weeks, we're going to explore what are hopes and dreams. And perhaps more importantly, what are God's hopes and dreams for each one of us? And how do we prepare? How do we begin to prepare? Because we haven't even prepared, but how do we begin to prepare to live out those hopes and dreams? How do you invest in achieving not only your hopes and dreams, but God's hopes and dreams for you, for your family, and for eternity? So many of us are not investing our time, our energy, and yes, our money in the right things. We get hit with all these immediate problems and issues, and they become these urgent priorities for us, yet we don't take time to see, is this really the right thing? Is this really worthwhile? Is this really where I should be investing my money, my time? Is this really bringing me closer to my dream for the future? Here's a quick example from this past week. Just think back this, you know, the past couple of weeks, how much time and money did you spend on Halloween? How much did you spend on the candy, the decorations, the pumpkins? Did you buy costumes for yourself, for the kids? Did you make them? Well, how much were the materials? How much time did that take? Was there stuff at your kid's school that they asked you to do for Halloween? What was it? How much time did it take? You know, I looked it up, and in the National Retail Federation in the United States says that the average person spends $86 on Halloween. That's per person, not per family. $86 for Halloween. The other stat that I found, that they said 29 million people dress up their pets for Halloween. But that's almost $350 for a family of four. And that's not counting all the time and the energy that you put into it. And I'm not saying that Halloween isn't worth $350. Maybe it is for your family. It can be a lot of fun. But did you actually budget for that? Did you plan that out? Did you think about how much you're going to spend on candy and costumes? Shouldn't investing your time and your money into Halloween be a decision you make, not just something you do without really thinking about it? There's an old adage that if you want to know what you truly value, look at what you spend your time on and what you spend your money on. Look at your agenda and look at your credit card statements. What are you spending your time and money on? Are you even aware of it? You know, if I look over my credit card statement and there's things in there that I'm like, what was that? What did I spend $8.33 on? And you're like, it's only $8.33. And you're like, okay, but it's sort of, but then you can't even remember what it was. And those abbreviations of what it is doesn't really help either sometimes, but you're looking at it and you're like, and then you remember, oh yeah, that was the coffee shop, or that was whatever it was. And it's like, but all those things add up. And are you even aware of what's on there? Or do you just simply pay the bill at the end of the month without really thinking? Is what you're spending your time and your money on aligned to the hopes and dreams you have for yourself and for your family? Or is it like so many of us, just a bunch of random things that we spend money on, a bunch of seemingly urgent things that we spend our time on? And a lot of it is fueled by this fear of missing out. A lot of it is fueled by advertising gimmicks, or just because it's something our culture says we're supposed to be doing. Are you spending your time and money on the things that are truly important to you? Zacchaeus in the gospel today has this encounter with Jesus. And in that encounter, he decides that he's no longer going to live his life in the same way. He's not going to spend his time and his money trying to accumulate more money, more stuff in his case. That's what his life was about before. He was not only a tax collector, but a chief tax collector. That actually costs a lot of money to get that job. There's a lot of people you got to pay off. And when you're a chief tax collector, you got to pay off even more people. He was investing an awful lot of his money and an awful lot of his time in accumulating more stuff, in material things, in accumulating more money. But with the encounter with Jesus, with actually listening to Jesus, when Jesus asks to enter into his house, that's actually Jesus asking if he can enter into his life. And with that encounter, Zacchaeus decides to change. He decides to make amends, yes, but he decides that from now on he's going to be living not for wealth or power or accumulation of things, but he's going to be living for something greater. He's going to be living for eternity. He's going to be living his life in order to fulfill God's dream that he be saved. And Jesus rejoices in that decision. Today, salvation has come to this house, Jesus says. It's like in that first reading that we heard today, where God's desire is that we be freed from wickedness and put our trust in the Lord. That they may be freed from wickedness and put their trust in you, O Lord. Now we may not, or we may be wicked and sinful. We may not be like Zacchaeus, maybe we are. But there are definitely areas of your life where you probably need to be set free, where you need to be corrected in some way. All of us need that. We need more freedom from the things that have a hold on us. Maybe we feel that maybe it's just a course correction that we need. Maybe it's not something major, but maybe we feel that we're just, you know, keeping our head above water. Maybe we need some more direction and purpose in our life. Maybe we need to be living for something else, something greater than just the fear of missing out, greater than whatever seems to be taking up so much of our time and energy right now that we can't seem to get past. Maybe we need to know we're actually living for eternity, for the fruits of the Spirit that come for living for eternity. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was in London for a conference about Alpha. And this was a conference that was about, there was about 100 people from all around the world, and we were at the church where Alpha really got its start, Holy Trinity Brompton. And if you've done Alpha, you'll recognize these two, Nikki and Pippa, from the videos. They were there, and one day, and that's the day that really struck me the most. You know, this conference was supposed to be about investing in us and giving us a vision of what they hope we become, an Alpha Hub church. But what struck me the most in all the 3 days that we spent there, but especially that day we saw Nikki and Pippa, it was their vision. Their vision for what Holy Trinity Brompton can be, for what Alpha can do. Their vision is that they want to reach, they want to reach millions upon millions of people. The people around them in this, you know, what is a posh area of London around Holy Trinity Brompton, but they want to reach people throughout their city, throughout their country. In fact, they have a vision for having a global impact. And in large part, that's through Alpha, but it's in other ways too. Their vision is big. I believe their vision is a God-sized vision. And that was probably the biggest impact that the conference had on me. What's my dream for our parish? More importantly, what's God's dream for all of us? What is God's dream for your life? God's dreams are so much bigger than ours will ever be. Because while our dreams are for us and, you know, maybe the next generation, God's dreams are for eternity. In the first reading today, we hear from that book of wisdom that everything is God's. He created everything. And in a very real way, all we have comes from God. The talents and gifts that we've been given, that we use hopefully to earn a living, that comes from God. The opportunity we have to live in the relative prosperity and freedom of this country in Canada. So we come up on Remembrance Day, we have to recognize that this is a blessing. And here we have so many resources that quite frankly we exploit rather than steward oftentimes. But these resources are what allows us to live in that relative prosperity. Those are gifts from God. What are we doing with them? And most importantly, the people in your life who you love, the people in your life who love you, they are given to you. They are a blessing from God. What do you want for them? What do you want for you? Do your hopes and dreams extend beyond here on earth? You know, when most parents, when pressed, will say what they want for their children. They want their children to be happy, to find purpose and fulfillment as they grow up. But that often includes, you know, that's tied in with work or maybe a happy marriage. Do your hopes and dreams for your children extend even bigger than that? Do they extend deeper than that? do they extend to eternal life, to eternal happiness in heaven? Do they extend to the point where they're living with the fruits of the Holy Spirit, that they live with joy and peace, that they're able to forgive easily, that they're able to ask for forgiveness, that they are able to be like to find resiliency in the midst of the turmoils that all of us are going to face in life? God's dream does. God's dream goes way beyond your dreams. In that first reading and in the gospel, we're reminded that God loves all of creation, and he wants all his children to be saved and to place their trust in him. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do between this week and next, when we continue this preaching series. I would love for you to take some time out, and I know you have busy schedules, but you got an extra hour last night. Instead of 168 hours this week, we have 169. Take that hour. Spread it over. You can spread it over the whole week, but take that hour this week at some point to think about your hopes and dreams for you, for your family, for your loved ones, and to pray about what God's hopes and dreams for them, for you, are. When you're thinking about that, do you think only about your life here on earth? Do you spend much time thinking about what happens after you die, about eternal life? Are you thinking about that? Do you want to start living for that? God wants you to. God wants you with him forever in heaven. And he wants your loved ones there with you. What do you want for yourself? What do you want for your family? Do you want them to find simply a good job? Or do you want them to find true fulfillment, true peace, the true joy that comes from actually living for something greater? For a real purpose? Do you want them to be able to actually grow in love by offering forgiveness, by asking for forgiveness? Do you want them to live eternal life even now? Pray about what God's hopes and dreams are for you. I guarantee you they're bigger than what yours are. I guarantee you they include your salvation. I know that God wants your salvation because God wants to come to your house, because you too are a child of Abraham.